can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
All right. Hour two. Republic of Texas Radio. Today's date is Sunday, August the 8th. We're, well, halfway through the show, and we're talking about, getting out of the corporate United States of America. And I'm not talking about jumping on a plane to do it, right? You know, there's, we've been talking about that for years now. I mean, literally years, and I'm new to the game at about 10 years or 11 years of having a understanding of the subject, which is still very small, right? And so Kelby Smith is with us, and he was talking about getting rid of that baggage that we were handed down, right, Kelby? So you know, we're kind of getting stuck here. I want to be free, right? First thing is to become what? How do you say that? What's the right words for, like, I'm in Texas, you're in California. So I don't want to be a citizen of Texas, right? Doesn't that mean servant of Texas, of the property of Texas?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
Citizen is defined as how you define it. So there's people that will think that being a citizen of something that you are a servant for, and everything in your documents that you write, the definitions are what you want them to be. That's an understanding. It's kind of a misunderstanding for a lot of people.
Is that the non-assumptive, all rights reserved statement allows you to, make it whatever you want to make it?
Well, technically, if you do that on your own documents, you're reserving your rights, and you're basically saying to them that you're not undertaking a contractual relationship with them. And so that is an important element of protecting yourself when you're trying to contract with the federal government.
And Kelby, you stated a little bit earlier, you know, about doing the driving thing, you know, free and unencumbered. But, you know, you come up against these law enforcement agencies, the jackbooted, they're not guys in blue or tan uniforms anymore. They're, most of them wear black with flat vests and, you know, flat vests and jack boots and everything. If you're trying to do this, you've got to warn people that more than likely, some point in the process, you're going to end up with bars in front of you. And
because there are
false hog places, you know, that will stop you and say, well, you don't have a driver's license. I'm putting your ass behind bars, you know?
Oh, if people drive a motor vehicle, which is the definition of a registered car or truck, if people drive a motor vehicle without a driver's license, more than likely they will be put in jail. But we don't teach that.
What do you teach? Because from at this point, you actually get driver's licenses so you don't hassle with the I'm gonna fight you for that, or and you use it when you want to, or I don't get it.
This
international driver's license that, you know, I've heard about for years and years, an international driver's license, well, and they will accept that. I mean,
a lot of states they do accept that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, in a lot of states they do accept that, but no, what we teach is a driver's license is a trust. It's something you went to the DMV, you created, you signed on, and now you have a likeness of yourself on a driver's license. So theoretically, the license was issued because, remember, Rundle versus Delaware, the corporations cannot do business with men and women. This is why they don't have those defined words in law. And so the license is issued to the registered organization. So that's why they put all caps on the license. So now you are, because of the way you signed that driver's license, you didn't put a word "by" in front of your signature. You're now saying, I am that person. I am holding that office for that person. And I must obey the rules, statutes, and codes that are written on that term of that trust agreement. we recontract that trust, and they do not know what to do because of the structure and what we do and how we recontract. It is a lawful mechanism to create a new contract and a new court of record that substantiates our position as a state of the union citizen. That way we can hold the license in our wallet on behalf of the registered organization who is the true contracted party and allow for us to freely travel without fear of repercussion.
And in other words, you kind of create a different type of corporation that you're under, and you and they can't get you, kind of like, you know, now it's like, you know, a pharmaceutical corporation creates a drug that kills tens of thousands of people, and the corporation gets fined a little bit, but no actual physical person ever gets put behind bars for the corruption and the death and the mayhem that the corporation caused through its bad product or whatever. Is that kind of along the lines of what you're saying? You kind of create that situation for yourself to where you're a corporation, so you really can't, as a physical person, be prosecuted and put in jail? Or
No.
That confused me.
No, my apologies. So it is a very, I'm not going to say it's, once you delineate that, you're not the registered organization. You're not the birth certificate. So when I say registered organization, I'm talking about a birth certificate. I'm talking about that they took, and we can talk about this next if you want, how they got jurisdiction over the marriage, over the birth certificate, and what those words mean, and what that means to literally in law for you. And so when you come up and you're holding that birth certificate, you're standing in the DMV line at 16 years old, and the DMV puts forward an unconscionable contract. And what I mean by that is you're 16 years old, you're a minor, and you're signing an adult contract. Right there, it's void on its face. So what we do is we don't create a new corporation per se, but what we do is we create a new structure, a new agreement that substantiates our position in future in any court case. So if they were to come after you, you would be able to bring your certified copies of your documents that you filed at the Secretary of State and that you served them all with notice. You not only did the job to become free, but you served the Secretary of State, the DOS, the IRS, the SSA, the sheriff, the governor. You served them all at the very end. Because when you take a publicly filed document of your freedom, that is the creation of the new contract, with every agency, and you put it into the public, and then you take that and you serve that upon the people who are your public servants, now you have completed the process where you can prove that you've given proper constructive notice of a publicly accepted, publicly filed, unrebutted claim. And now you're free. And people, you don't need a decision from a court. You don't need a decision from a sheriff. You're free, because if any court action were to ever be brought into play, you can bring your documents in and rebut that presumption, and they would not know what to do. Now, they will try to recontract with you potentially, and it's no thank you. And that's a whole other element of understanding who you are, because they will try to breach the walls. There's no doubt about it. But
it's kind of like that word you just used, understand. You know, it's like, when, you know, from everything I've heard, you know, you go before a judge and he says, do you understand the charges that are being brought against you? And if you say yes, you know, or something, once again, understand is a word that has a specific meaning in the legal system.
Yeah. So you know, Webster's 1913 definition of understand is one who accepts the... one who undertakes and accepts the surety bond for that particular case. So, yeah, you're correct, but it also means do you comprehend? So when I'm using it the way I want to use it. But I get what you're saying, that judges do trick people with saying, do you understand the charges have been presented before you? And say, I don't understand anything that this court is offering me. What is the court exactly offering me? Can we speak it on into the public record, sir? And then the judge said, well, do you know how to read? And you respond, yes, I know how to read, but I don't understand the charges. well, what don't you understand about the charges? I just don't understand the charges. Can you please tell me the charges on and for the public record? Because they're in a private bar venue, and they don't want to speak the charges onto a public record. In that private bar venue, which is their room, they're operating on the private side, and they're not wanting that information to be on a public side. And so when you don't know what you're doing and you're willing to accept the surety bond and accept the charge instrument, you're done. From the beginning, you're done. The second you say, I understand, you are done. And you will go to jail unless you have a high power attorney that knows how to spin that thing around, because they want a judgment. They want to get paid. And so that's why we tell people you do need to have, it's 10% understanding who you are from a document standpoint, 90% of understanding who you are from a man or a woman standpoint. We've been programmed for our entire lives, and we need to mm-hmm. unprogram our minds. And it's work to become free in your mind. I've heard you guys say, I'm a slave, I'm this, I'm that. And I'm going to tell you, I beg to differ. You are an American. They misguided us. And we signed away certain elements of freedom that we can simply cancel and have back. But to say we are a slave, to say those are things that... that we have a gift from God of unalienable freedom here in this nation. Why don't we grab it? Why are we not all over it? Why do we want to be the bank's surety? Why do I want them to be able to come and jab me at will? I don't want any of that. And so I'm going to stand in freedom. I'm going to stand against tyranny. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand for freedom in this nation, for the widow, for the orphan, for whatever. That's what we are called as men to do. But that's the 90% of understanding who we are, because they have programmed us to think we are dogs. We're worthless.
Oh yes. A woman named Charlotte Iserby tells all this very perfectly. You know what they've done to people. You know, they've dumbed us down. They have deliberately kept the information from us, and basically, we're living in a matrix. You know, it's a created world that is basically an illusion of everything that we believe is the truth.
That I agree with.
Telby, you keep using a word, we, right? You know, that you work with other people trying to help other people, right? How does somebody get a hold of you? We had a call into the show, and they wanted to get your contact information. How do people get a hold of you guys?
Well, the main website is hisadvocates.org, and they can we have Q&A sessions. We're open and transparent. We're private, so they have to become a member first, and it's a free membership. They do have choices for VIP membership. If they want to get added to a text alert list where they can hear, like me, come out on TV shows or radio, they can text the word freedom to toll-free number 855-452-0499. Again, 855-452-0499. Text the word freedom.
Okay.
Or sign up at hisadvocates.org for free.
Now, and when people sign up with that, are they putting themselves under contract with you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's private. It's not public. And it's a great question. It's a fair question. No, it's a good question. It's protecting them, and it's protecting us, because if you look at the bottom of hisadvocates.org, our website, we explain all the Supreme Court rulings that allow for us as a private entity to be able to talk legal, lawful remedies for people that are part of our private entity without having a bar card. And so that's why we're able to do what we do. But by the way, every single business in this nation can operate like we do in the private, creating a private trust and open their doors and stay open without fear of repercussion of being closed or forced closed by the United States corporation because they don't want to comply to an unlawful order. Every business, quote unquote, should move their business into the private and get rid of the license.
Okay, now you just brought up a word, trust there. You know, see, I've got property out here, and, you know, in order to keep myself safe from lawsuits, et cetera, you know, it is under a lifetime trust LLC. Now, is there a difference between, like, a lifetime trust without the LLC on the end of it? What part of, like, that would...
Yes. And actually, that is a really great question, and here's why. Here's what gives jurisdiction to the United States on everything, guys. It's registration. It's registration of your car, and it becomes a motor vehicle. It's registration of your children. They have a live born record, then it becomes a birth certificate. It's registration of your home that has a real estate broker. I hold a real estate broker's license. I've done thousands of transactions. I understand chain of title custody probably better than anybody. And I have a 9-hour video on my YouTube that we give away for free that we used to charge for, explaining people how to help themselves from a foreclosure prevention standpoint, showing that the note and deed are whatever. So my point that I'm trying to make is anytime you register something, you're handing it over to the state. When you give money, FRNs, to a bank, you're depositing it. That word deposit, you're receiving credit on account. You're giving them your money for a credit on account. And then you've made an agreement with the bank that if the bank fails, they're going to give you stock in the bank. You don't get money back. So anytime you register, you go from the private to the public. You're handing the property, you're putting it in the public, you're handing the private car and you're putting it in the public. And whoever created that public, meaning the registry, is the owner. They own that property now. And so that question of what is an LLC is, that's a public, a C Corp, S Corp, LLC, anything that's been registered at the state of Delaware, at the state of Nevada, those now become property. Even though you have stock, it's a stock certificate or a certificate of stock, it's not ownership. They own the company. They own every element of the company. And it's all done in fraud and trickery. You need to go look at the word registry, look at the words deposit, and start getting your mind wrapped around what they've done through our own actions of voluntarily handing over our property and our children and our things. And so private trust is unregistered. Private trust is a properly structured trust that's a forever trust that you could hand to your children's 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 children going through estate tax, because it never dies. And that property, quote-unquote, can stay in the private, and we even have people that put their property in these private trusts and then strip them from the county recorder's office if there's no debt on them. If there is debt on them, they place it under a church environment and can apply for and receive tax-exempt status on that property to where they don't get a bill from the state or the county for taxation. Now, listen, guys, I'm a firm believer that if there was a company called the United States running my best interest and not killing millions of people all over the world in the name of freedom and democracy, I'm a firm believer in supporting that. But the second that they turn their face from God, the second that they've killed millions of people all over this world for freedom and democracy, which is a cover-up and a lie, I have to turn my face from them. Now I don't pledge anything to them. I don't give one dime to the whore. This is what I call her. And I pledge everything to God, and I have full protections under God and man's law for these types of structures and entities.
Hey, and Kelby, you brought up something there. You know, try to get yourself out of contract with them as much as possible. But you brought up Federal Reserve notes there, and a guy named Ron McDonald, who I believe is going to be on the network with John every now and then again.
Really?
Let me ask this question after the break here, because this is
we'll get back to you, Alan.
We'll start with you. Hang on, folks. Republic of Texas Radio. We got Kelby Smith on the line for another half hour or so. Hang on.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, we're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, we have Kelby Smith on the line, and Alan, you're up next. Hey, we do have a caller. We're not taking calls, but we will. We'll drag Dave from Michigan in here in a few seconds, and but then we're not taking any other calls, guys. You know, we're just he's sneaking through. I'm good with that. Alan, what were you wanting to talk about?
Yeah, you know, Ron McDonald, in his book, They Own It All by Means of Toxic Currency, you know, including you by means of toxic currency. You know, his postulation, you know, that one of the few designated powers that the government did have was over commerce, you know, interstate commerce, international commerce, et cetera. When you use a Federal Reserve note, it is a, you know, screw it, I'm not going to use Bitcoin, I'm not going to use a debit or credit, I'm not going to use a check, I'm going to deal in cash, which still has some anonymity. But you have to pay your bills, you have to do exchange, unless you work on a straight barter system between you and someone else, exchanging your labor for something, you know, that they can give you, you know, well, I'll rebuild your house and you'll give me half of a beef or something like that. But when you use the Federal Reserve note, which is created by an international corporation, you're putting yourself in international commerce, which, you know, if you want to look at it from what they do have regulation on, that does, you're putting yourself basically under contract and under because you're conducting commerce using Federal Reserve notes. You have to pay your bills somehow unless you work on a strictly barter system. How do you get past that even?
That's actually pretty easy. It's a valid question because I think what Ron's talking about is the collective entity doctrine, where the Federal Reserve note exists, they're part of any contract between the parties. And so when you digest that from a standpoint of they're a party to the contract, let's create the new contract. So when you deposit a check, or you're depositing a direct deposit or what have you, you have to create the contract with the bank. And so you do that by public notice through simply certified mail, writing a letter, or you sign the back of a check, a deposit for lawful money only for credit on account number, da-da-da-da-da. And you will find that the IRS, when making a deposit of funds for lawful money only for credit on account, will not look at those funds as a part of anything that they have jurisdiction over, number one. Number two, when you've established the deposit between, or let's say, like I have contracts that people will sign, and there's a mention within the contract of what we would consider as lawful money. Federal Reserve notes in a Supreme Court are considered lawful money as well. And it's because they were tied to gold and silver at one point. And so you can actually, they were Federal Reserve certificates at the time, but you can actually take and make a Federal Reserve note any kind of exchange that you want within the contract. So you got to describe the actual exchange of value that you're using. Even though these are considered Federal Reserve notes, both parties agree that these are considered lawful money as gold or silver and whatever, and you can create the type of exchange. Now, the question is the Federal Reserve or the United States going to try to gain jurisdiction over a contract because they know you used a Federal Reserve note in exchange? And the answer is they don't have jurisdiction if both the entities are private. So if you're using your all caps name or you're using an LLC, they have jurisdiction over those entities, even though it's a Federal Reserve note and the collective entity doctrine exists. But theoretically, and I'm sorry to go legal with you guys, but it's a legal question. Theoretically, the collective entity doctrine, which is if you're using a Federal Reserve note, does not have jurisdiction over two men or a foundation, private trust, unregistered trust, were to do quote-unquote commerce together, business together, or enterprise together. Now, I'm saying all those three names on a private basis. I'm not using
the
term
business. Can you do that? You know, it used to be your word and your handshake, you know, was your contract. You know, that was between two people. There's nothing they can do about it. There is nothing's on paper. Nothing's anywhere. It's just, you know, between two people, you know, hopefully, you know, back when an armed society was a polite society, you didn't go around screwing everyone and having no repercussions. But, you know, nowadays, everything you do, you know, most people want a piece of paper signed. And you're talking about your bank checks, you know. I've gotten out a magnifying glass and looked at those signature lines, and they will say something like authorized signature, authorized signature, authorized signature. So right. Small that it looks like a solid line, but it's actually, when you sign your name on that, you're putting yourself under contract. You know, it's so
correct.
Insidious what's been done and what is being done.
Hey, we're about to hit the break, but go ahead. Why don't you finish it? And Dave out there in Michigan, we will take you after we hit the break. But Kelby, please continue.
That check can be properly contracted. That check can simply have the word buy in front of your name. Now you truly are instead of the party that's accountable or the surety, now you become the quote-unquote registered agent for the artificial person that's listed on that check. So it's and then you can also use all rights reserved without prejudice under your signature, and that is a lawful full reservation of rights for any perceived or unperceived contract be on that bank signature card. The point I'm trying to make, guys, is we fail for a lack of knowledge. Every single contract is important. Every single one.
Yeah, totally. It's a weird understanding when you first figure out, oh my God, I got all these contracts with my life. Republic of Texas Radio. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
So here we fight all through the... All right. Home stretch, Republic of Texas Radio. I guess that's a baseball analogy. Let's go to the phones. We don't have open phone lines right now, but we do have Dave in Michigan from what my screen says. So let's ask him, what are you thinking about, Dave? Have you been listening? Of course.
I'm listening. Yes. Thanks, okay. Steve, for taking my call. I appreciate it. Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, Steve, Allen, and Kelby. Burst surgery on 42 action. That's where I met Chris. Chris is a dear friend, and although I haven't spoke with him in a couple of weeks, I did hear something about John. You know, I didn't hear him say that he died, but I heard him say something, and you know, on a replay, and I start hunting him down, and I haven't found him yet. I talked to another dear friend of his there in Vegas, and he hasn't heard from him in a while, so he's gonna, you know, seek him out and actually look for him. He's the guy that bailed him out twice. So he's pretty close with him as well. Now, Kelby, I got a couple issues with some of the... Chris, for one, would say, and I learned this from him, that a citizen is a slave, right? It comes from the word city denizen from the Roman days. So I've got an issue with being a state citizen. I like the term state national or American national. And I don't like the word democracy. That's a problem for me. And I'm wondering, are you affiliated with Anna von Ritz at all?
No. Not at all.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay. I think Anna's an agent. What do you say about democracy?
I mean, a republic, if anything, under God.
Well, democracy's mob rule. You know, it's two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
Yeah, that's what I agree with you. Let's talk about citizen, and let's talk about American National first.
Okay.
And I'm going to go a little legal on you, and I'm going to ask you to do a little research on what I'm about to say. If you go to Cornell Law and you look up the word national, it'll be under 8 U.S.C. 1101 A21. 8 U.S.C. 1101 A21. And then right next to that is A22, which is national of the United States. So my question is go find the word national in the Declaration of Independence. You will not find it.
Okay.
So to say you're an American national is kind of like saying I'm an American, which is a state citizen, and you're saying in the second term, I'm falling under 8 U.S.C. 1101 A21. So when you look at Cornell Law of what a national is, it says a person that owes allegiance to a state. It says a person that owes allegiance to a state. Now, that is the closest definition in U.S. code for a state of the union citizen. However, when you hover over the word state on Cornell Law and you click the word state, it's going to bring you to the territories. It does not describe California, Arizona, Nevada, Washington, Oregon. It describes Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, all the territories. So a person that owes allegiance to the United States territories is really what it's meaning. So to say I'm an American national, in you're describing something that does not exist in law, does not exist in the Declaration, and you're claiming to be a part of their code. And when you use something that belongs to them, you are theirs. So if you're going to use anything, let's use state citizenship. Now, Chris, I've known Chris for years, and we've had a lot of great discussions. And the ideology of Chris or people that want to hang on to a definition, why would I want to hang on to somebody's definition of citizenship or citizen, when I can hang on to the biblical definition of citizen, which is I'm a child of the Most High God, I'm a citizen in heaven first. Now, that I'm a Christian, that's, I know, a title, it's a label, and it could be a bad label too, but when I put citizen on a document, I define it. When I put, I don't put national on any document, I don't put American national, I don't put anything that is in their code. Because I have something direct from the Word of God. I have something that I can define as whatever I want. And I can point back to, no, that's a definition that describes this. And so my documents can say any word they want because I define them. Or my intention for citizen is not slave. It's free man, self-governed under the Most High God. And this is literally what we claim is a citizen of heaven on our explanatory statements. And we describe a self-governance and we make allegiance to the Declaration of Independence. And so just be very careful when you're using American National. I actually, if you go to youtube.com/stateoftheunioncitizen, you will find a video that says state citizen versus American national. I clearly say why you don't want to say you're an American national on that video.
Okay, I'll accept that. One more question. Are you familiar with national-assembly.net?
I'm not affiliated with any.
No, I said, are you
familiar? I believe in assemblies. I'm familiar, yeah.
Okay. I'm part of that group, and you said inhabit the, you know, the republic. And that's basically what we're doing, re-inhabiting, you know, re-settling the state so they're not,
awesome.
Just part of this corporation.
Awesome. Just remember something. The people from assembly groups that go to jail are the ones that give orders to corporate judges, DAs. Right. Yeah, just stay within your own group. And
agencies, Kelby, and none of our people have ever gone to prison, and we've been... This, you know, I say we. I didn't start it, but it's been going since 2010, it has been deeply researched and vetted, and it's constitutional.
Good.
And that's all we do.
Scary.
Check it out, national-assembly.net. Thank you, Steve and Alan and Kelby. You guys
all right,
have a great
man.
Day.
Appreciate you. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, it's interesting that we can have big arguments about definitions and words. You know, I know I'm a Republic Broadcasting listener as well as a host, right? But, you know, I enjoyed that conversation about citizen and national because, wow, I bump into my own word phobia. What you were talking about, is it word phobia? I don't know what the word would be. Non-assumptive, all rights reserved. Kind of a fascinating little one-liner there, Kelby. Non-assumptive.
I've heard there are so many things that you can sign after your name or under your name. I mean, you know, UCC this, blah, blah, blah. You know, which one is the most effective, you know, or are several? Do several of them work if you sign that to keep yourself out of contract when you do have to sign your name somewhere?
So when you use like UCC 1-308, you're actually using their definition, and you're saying I'm a part of that. You're pulling something that they've created for them, and you're using it. So if you're going to be under God or you're going to be self-governed, you're going to create the contract you wish, and you're not going to need any of their code, statutes, or ordinances. You're going to say something like non-assumptive, which means I did not undertake, or you just write down under duress, I do not undertake, or you just write down all rights reserved below your signature, above the signature line, making it clear, and you're good. You're protected.
Okay, and,
or you mentioned by, right, by changes it too. So if I were to sign my name on something, by Steve O'Brien is different than Steve O'Brien, right?
Well, if you sign the word by on your signature line, or you use the word by on your signature line, it's because you're seeing in the document that your name is in all caps. Because that way you're saying, I am the authorized representative for, or the registered agent for, the all caps name. You're not saying I am by not using the by. You're delineating yourself in law differently. And so anytime that you're doing something with any state agency or federal agency, it's always with the word by in front of your name and with the reservation of rights. I've gotten to the point where I don't even, if I have to do a bank signature card, I literally am writing in cursive the words non-assumptive. I just put, instead of my signature, I'm just in cursive writing non-assumptive. And then if I were to ever be asked if that was my signature, I would say no. And they'd say, the judge would respond, you didn't sign that? And I'd be like, no, I didn't sign it. Signing is the lawful definition of signing. What is your signature? Look it up. Black's Law is one who can attest to the validity of the instrument. No, I didn't sign it. And he's going to ask me a very specific question. It's going to be, did you go into the DMV and use the electronic pen and write your name on the patent? And I'm going to say, Your Honor, if you're asking me if I went into the DMV and used the electronic pen and hand wrote the words non-assumptive, I did, but I did not sign. Boom. You would drop the mic in that court and walk out. And I'm not kidding when I say that, because they would know exactly the contract you just created at the DMV and the new contract you created in court. You're not agreeing with anything.
The problem that I see with that is probably more of me than will that work? Because remembering all that stuff and being over in that courtroom, I've been in a lot of courtrooms, maybe not a lot. You know, I've gone to 20 maybe court settings you know, for various people and watching this stuff. But it's kind of intimidating, right? And if you're telling somebody that, they handwrite non-assumptive and then mince words with the judge is kind of, I can understand what you're,
well,
it can be intimidating. Go ahead.
Let's address that. I've appeared specially in court quite a few times, and what I mean by specially is on paper, and it's a legal, lawful appearance. So if you're afraid, or anybody's afraid for that matter, because it is very intimidating, no matter who you are or what level of experience, when you're going against an expert contractor like a judge, it's very intimidating. So appear specially. Put it in writing. And they have to respond. They can't say you didn't appear. They can't say you didn't address the court. They can't say anything. You're creating the contract. By the way, the contract is the paperwork. The contract is never what you say unless it's on and for the public record. And so that's why you always are saying, are we on for public record? And then you have to say on and for the public record. And then you create the record. And then they make your words disappear on the stenographer makes your words disappear. So you got to bring in your own court reporter. I mean, it's all a ruse. They are committing so many levels of fraud right now across this nation. It's ridiculous. So the court that we create is a court of record, and that's what we put before a court. We're creating the environment. We're creating the case. We're creating the defaults. They have to honor that because they do not respond. And when you have a court of record, the judge now is operating on the public side where he has to honor the default you've done in the private. That's just a fact in law. Now, are they going to try to recontract? Maybe, but you can stand on your defaults and not accept it.
And like you just said, the court, if you don't have your own stenographer of some type or something in there, because I have actually sat in a courtroom at one point at a sentencing trial for someone that we knew that from the Republic of Texas that was being persecuted, prosecuted, whatever you want to call it. And what was said in the courtroom is not what ended up in the court record. It was changed because
that multiple times.
Yeah, because I mean, she asked the judge. It's like, is this a common law or a statutory court? And the judge thought for a second and he goes, "Well, it's a statutory court." And I wanted to write down what time it was when this was said and everything else. And the court record says that the defendant said that this is a statutory court, not a common law court. Not the judge admitting that it was a statutory court and nothing to do with, you know, we make it up as we go along, basically is what he said. On a lighter note, and I will end with my last question, my dear has been inside. In fact, she's inside right now, and I will ask him, if her father buys corn from a state-registered granary, you know, reclaimed corn and everything, and her dad feeds her that corn and she eats that corn, does that put her and her fawns and her future offspring under contract with the state?
You know, you're... Alan, really? Really?
She's, you know, been she's in here bugging me. She's saying, she was telling me, ask the question. You got to know how... You got to know, dear.
She doesn't have a birth certificate, does she? No.
Not to my knowledge.
Doesn't.
But somebody's always chasing her around. Great response.
Do you see the fawn's paw print on the birth certificate? Is it an original paw print or is it a duplicate? I mean, there's a lot of questions I can go before we continue.
Yeah,
I mean,
I guess that's the state of things. But people are chasing her around with a gun. Actually, they leave Alan's pet deer alone, because it has a bright orange collar on it, and all the hunters around there are told, stay away from that one. And they actually like her. Nebby is a good,
but you know,
good deer, but, friendly.
But you know, those hunters, they are running around shooting deer with a state license.
They are licensed hunters. No, but they have a verbal agreement with you not to shoot her.
Well, you got to realize what the state has done. The state, by marking every single deer, they literally tag every single deer. They find them and tag them. There's like a people that do this for a job. So a deer that is not tagged is open game. And that's one that you can take home over and above the one the state allows you that's tagged. People don't know that. They only have jurisdictions over what they own or what's been registered or tagged. And so think about that just for a sec.
Well, it sounds a lot like the dog walking around pissing on everything.
To fish on your private property, you have a pond on your private land. Legally, technically, you don't have to have a fishing license if you're on your own property catching your own fish that you raised by with your own means. But if you go out onto a state waterway or somewhere, well, but then the state, and they all say that they, you know, that they claim the waterways now, too. So, you know,
that's a whole nother question. I would love to address that with you guys if you'd have me on, but the aspect of property versus land, the aspect of registering a property in the county recorder, or how do you pull the property out of the county recorder? One of the questions on my broker's exam was, are you required to register a property when you purchase it and put it in the county recorder? And I got this question wrong. And this is what opened my eyes long before I became a free man. And it was, the answer is no. There's no lawful requirement for you to register your property in the county recorder.
Is that kind of like one of those things, like with the when you buy a car from a dealer, they say, oh, well, we'll help you do your licensing process. We'll send the manufacturer's certificate of origin into the state, and they will give you a certificate of okay. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like I said earlier, you know, we've got my brother works for a title company, and when he was at the Capitol doing a title search one time, he went and looked up and found the original land grant signed by Sam Houston, the president of the Republic of Texas, straight out to my great-great-grandfather, a section 640 acres of land, free and clear, unencumbered, it's yours, you know, go do with it what you shall. And sometime in the time between, it was, I guess, taken and recorded at the county through, you know, the just telling them, it's like, well, it'll help keep you safe, or blah, 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 however they induce these people to do this.
Right.
Can I get that back? You know, we've got a copy.
All day long. Whatever can be registered can be unregistered. And I have a form for you that is a FOIA. You send to the county, you ask them for the form to unregister the property with the county recorder, and you also make a stake and claim back to the original land grant, which is the true title, and you are an heir. You are a recipient of that title. You have a right to the title. So unregistering the property from the county recorder is the key.
I might try that sometime. Like I said, I'm pretty much already, you know, known and pissed off most of the city council and the county commissioners and everything else. And a lot of them are my cousins, actually. But,
I like you guys. You guys are good, man. You guys are asking the right questions.
Yeah, actually, this has turned out better than what I thought, Kelby. You know, we've had some good discussion here, and it hasn't turned hostile either way. And, you know, I question everything. You know, if you want to get involved in this, there's going to be some work doing what you're trying to do. You don't just go down and sign something and you're free and clear. It's like a constant battle almost, is it not?
No, but we give. No, it's not as much work as you think. The passport is it's a fearful thing for people to go and apply to United States Post Office with a weird looking document that doesn't really. Not something they normally see, but we give clear instruction what to do. We support people all the way through. We're 100% at getting this done, and we give all the documents with clear direction. All they have to do is sign up, and we walk them right through. We have a support system, online system, an emergency phone support system, customer service. We have document preparers. We have all kinds of stuff, and we have a Q&A where I go on every week, Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific, and I answer every question for both existing, living in the private members, and new ones that are inquiring about it. So the new ones can hear existing ones get through the program. So it's a really neat thing. We're open and transparent across the board.
And you say you have all these people on staff and support and everything, but you're saying that with your process, you don't have to have like a bail bondsman on staff to help people or anything.
And that's a great question. I have never seen somebody that is operating as a state citizen get in trouble. Never. They leave them alone. It's the most protected group on the face of the earth because the law supports it. We're not trying to be a sovereign citizen. We don't want anything to do with sovereign citizen. That's an FBI defined, Homeland Security defined thing. That's not us.
Right.
We're just Americans, and we're just saying we don't want to be the collateral for the debt of this nation because and we're moving from the corporation back into the de jure, and it's a legit process.
You definitely You've definitely convinced me a little bit more. Like I said, I still question a lot of things, and I'd love to have you back on and talk with you again for a while. It's been a good conversation.
I think we should do that. You know, I'd like to do that. I'm still confused, but then that's okay. It takes a long time to actually straighten a lot of this stuff out.
It's a confusing subject matter.
You know, and you get it from all different sides, right? You know, we've been hearing it for years. And it's interesting.
Ed and Lane Brown, you know, about the time Steve and I both kind of started waking up. We know it was about that time, you know, those folks.
You know, well, I'll send you a video.
Go ahead.
I'll send you guys a video with a diagram where I show exactly how we do it.
Okay, give out your website one more time. What is the site that people...
HISadvocates.org. HISadvocates.org.
Okay. That, I just wanted to make sure that people that are interested in, you know, continuing the conversation, that would be the site that you go over to. And it's interesting that you, it's a private membership. In order to get to the website, we did talked a little bit about that. You have to join the website, but membership is free. But you know, the tech giants love to do that. Membership is free too, and that's probably their sneaky little way of binding you to. Well, they're always contracting you. I don't know, Kelby. It's a fascinating subject,
and very very involved. Definitely very involved and very complicated. You say it's simple at its base, but when you understand a little bit about the bureaucratic system and what's been created and how it's been brought against us, you know, over all this time, you know, just a little bit here, a little bit there, a little more of your freedoms for a little bit perceived safety or whatever, it's very insidious.
Hey, go ahead.
I'd rather be free than be the slave.
There you go.
Yeah, I hear you. But again, you know, trying to be free. I remember I've seen lots of people try to be free and, not be successful, and that always sucks. You know,
and in today's world, being free almost puts a big target on your back, too, you know, unfortunately, because a lot of people, like I said, they don't mind, you know, the system. I just have to do this, and I have to live within this bound and this bound, and they keep just encroaching more and more and more into our lives to where, you know, you got code enforcement going around, and you're finding if your grass is a half inch too high. You know, it's just the insanity.
Let me address that before we close.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me address that real quick. I would rather, there's that old phrase, I would rather, you know, it used to be, I'd rather die than live on my knees as a slave. I'm going to tell you right now, as a United States citizen or any citizen of any corporation that is connected to the United States corporation, connected to the Vatican, connected to that structure, whatever it is, whatever you want to call the power structure that is coming against the world, they are not going to let you live. And the only shot that you have is being obedient to God, Revelation 18:4, and it says you will not partake in the plagues. Go read it. Understand, coming out is your freedom.
Thank you, Kelby. Right. Take care, folks.
Thanks, Kelby.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Keith Rogers is coming up next. Perception Management. Hang in there, man. It's a good show. Wow. I don't have any other words except bye. The spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.